Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante. I'm with Ross Tucker, and it's time for Ask Ross. This is where we take your questions for Ross, and then the best question wins the KSN polo shirt. If you want to submit a question for Ross, it's really easy. Download our app, Keystone Sports, and you'll see the Ask Ross button, or you could also email us at info@ksnsports.net. Ross, you ready for the questions?
I am.
All right, let's start with Tony in Philadelphia. Which of Penn State's seventh-round draft picks has the best chance for a long and successful NFL career, and does the player's position have a lot to do with that? And he adds one last thing, at the risk of losing, I love mushrooms on pizza. Ross, let me take that last part for you. Tony from Philadelphia, you did not help your cause advocating for mushrooms on pizza. I'll let you take the rest of it, Ross.
Hey, Jim, when you have a chance to ruin a pizza by putting a little squishy eraser on the top of your beautiful pizza, you got to do it. I mean, Tony has done it again. I mean, what are we talking about, Tony? I mean...
From Philadelphia. Don't you expect more from a guy named Tony from Philadelphia?
Exactly. Tony, now I need to know your last name. Gosh. Yes, I am not a fan of mushrooms on pizza. I don't understand it. But I also don't understand, like, broccoli and whatever. I just think, like, if you're going to have a salad, have a salad. If you're gonna have a pizza, have a pizza. Put some pepperoni or sausage on it. I mean... this is still America, right? Like, we're still in America. Anyway, to answer the question, I'll go Michael Mennett. And I'll go Michael Mennett for a couple different reasons. I think the position lends itself to it. You know, a lot of times there are centers that end up having very long careers in the NFL. So I'll say Mennett for center is a big reason. I also think he was the most highly ranked of those guys. You know what happened, Jim, is a couple things. Number one, I don't think Mennett had as good of a senior year as his junior year. You know, he's a guy that I think I've said this before, but I had a team tell me that they gave him a third round grade after his junior year. So I suppose in hindsight, Mennett would have been better off leaving school early. You know, I don't know why he wasn't quite as good this year. I think part of it might have been the thing I had mentioned to you before, Jim, which is having to learn new techniques and new offensive line coach. However, I think Penn State moving Will Fries to guard is the only reason why he got drafted. So it kind of goes both ways, right? Like, Troutwine moves Fries from tackle to guard. I don't think Fries would have gotten drafted at tackle. I just don't think he's smooth enough or athletic enough there. But he goes to guard, and next thing you know, Fries is people like him. And Fries gets drafted by the Colts as a guard. And maybe he'll have a long career there. Mennett, on the other hand, I don't think played as well. But then I think, you know what really hurt him? He didn't work out at the pro day. I don't know what happened to him. I don't know why he wasn't able to work out at the pro day, but he didn't. He wasn't able to work out at his pro day. So, you know, he's a guy that is athletic. You know, we talked about him dunking in high school. We talked about his short shuttle time. It would have really helped him to work out at the pro day. So, at any rate, I think that's why – Mennett fell a little bit. But I still think he's got the best chance to have a long career out of those guys.
And wasn't it A.Q. Shipley was a pretty low-round draft pick also and ended up with a pretty long NFL career?
You know what? A.Q. was a seventh-round pick who ended up being on practice squad that first year and then went on to play like 12 years in the NFL. It's crazy.
Yeah. So it can happen. All right, Ross, next up is Dwayne from Gettysburg. And I just want to point out, Tony from Philadelphia, listen to Dwayne's question. Listen to Dwayne and learn. Here's what Dwayne says. Hello, one and only Ross. And then he says, yes, I want the KSN shirt. Tony, that's how you do it, okay? And then Dwayne follows up. Here's his question. I have a two-part question, if you'd be so kind to answer. With Sean Lee's retirement announcement, where would you rank him as far as best ever linebackers at Linebacker U? And two, I heard he was in Happy Valley recently giving some tips and advice. You think he could end up on the staff under Franklin at some point if he wanted to? It seems to me he'd make an excellent mentor to college athletes.
Well, everything about this question's awesome because I hold Sean Lee in the highest regard. I love everything about that young man. He is how you draw it up. I've only ever talked with him once, and I came away thoroughly, thoroughly impressed. But watching him as a Penn Stater, you could tell how much it meant to him. I'll never forget, Jim, and I've told the story before, I'm telling it again. Yes, I'm 42 and I tell stories more than once now, okay?
Wait till you get to 60.
You know, I'll never forget, they're in the Citrus Bowl and it's just Sean Lee and I think it was Montario Hardesty from Tennessee in the hole. This might have been Lee's sophomore year or junior year. It just Lee and Hardesty in the hole and Hardesty in the gap. And Hardesty gives him a little shake. Sean Lee misses. And Hardesty took it to the house. And it was absolutely, absolutely Sean Lee's play, obviously. They show the camera on him, Jim. After that, hyperventilating on the sideline. Hyperventilating. Like, he knew he was in the right position. He did the right thing. It was his play to make, and he let down his teammates, himself. The fact that he cared that much meant a lot to me. And, man, you talk to people in the pros. I think it'd be great if he were a coach. I don't know if that's what Sean wants to do or not. I think he would have a lot of really good opportunities at the NFL level. I would think the Cowboys would want to hire him to coach Micah, quite frankly. So I don't know what he'll end up doing. A lot of times these guys, Jim, they want like a year or two to kind of get away from it, you know, and then they come back. Although it seems like the Cowboys organization wants to have him around. So maybe that will happen. I don't know.
Well, and even Mike has talked about Sean Lee being a mentor for him. So that's a good place for him to go. Let's go to Brandon in Shiremanstown. Brandon says, how did Lamont Wade go from a five-star recruit to an undrafted free agent? Was it coaching or were the recruiting services that far off? Where didn't he develop as a defensive back? I remember the Indiana game this year where he was continually torched.
Yeah, so, you know, some of those ratings are questionable, really questionable. You know, a lot of those ratings are based upon the success and early success of a high school football player. And frankly, Jim, the program they're at. You know, I mean, Lamont Wade went to Clareton. They go deep into the playoffs every year. He was a stud in 9th and 10th grade. And I think as a result, he got ranked very high. But the reality is, a 5'9", 190-pound defensive back who runs a 4.5 40, I mean, that's just not that probably should not be a five-star player, would be the answer. I don't think Penn State did a poor job developing him. I think Wade was probably rated too high by the high school scouting service. Now, look, his high school video was really good. He was a terrific player, but he should not have been a top five cornerback recruit. I mean, he never had the ideal skill set to be. I mean, you know, I had people when he was a recruit, by the way, that said to me, scouting people that said, 5'9" corners are dime a dozen. And I think that's the issue with him getting drafted as much as any other. They're just not looking for 5'9 defensive backs. You got to be like Bob Sanders if you're a 5'9 defensive back. And Lamont was not that. That's the type of player he had to be. That's the type of player he is. But he's a very poor man's Bob Sanders.
And remember late in the season, we saw him on special teams do some really good things on kickoff returns. If he's doing that at the collegiate level, I imagine at high school, and it was a small school he was at, he probably did some really great things on special teams that would lend itself to people thinking, hey, this is a kid capable of very special things. And, you know, that adds to that five-star status, I would think. Anyway, let's go to Steve in Chicago. Steve says, hello, Ross. I keep hearing about the great up-tempo offense that Yursich is going to run and how this wears out the defense. What are the disadvantages of running this type of offense? And if it is so effective, why doesn't everyone go up-tempo? Keep up the great show.
It's an awesome question. The disadvantages are if you don't have success, your defense is coming back on the field quickly. You know, they don't get any type of breather. And defense is where you really need to be rested and ready to go. So the biggest detriment, I think, is when you go up tempo, you don't have a chance to make as many adjustments. You don't have a chance to survey the defense as much. The idea is you are dictating to the defense. You don't need to survey. They need to worry about you. But you don't get a chance to make checks and audibles, really. You don't get a chance to try to identify what the defense is doing because you're going. But if you go three and out, that's bad. I mean, that's a bad defense. A bad offense to have because your defense is right back on the field. So the positives are you tire out the other team. You know, you can kind of dictate tempo to them. A lot of times you can keep them in more vanilla stuff. But those are the two negatives, is it goes real quick if you're not having success and, you know, you're not able to do some of the things to kind of identify what the defense is running.
In other words, if you're a good team, it works well. If you're a bad team, it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly.
That is That's it for quarter number three. Stay tuned for quarter number four when Andy comes back.
In a world of over 100 hard seltzers swimming in a sea of sameness and mediocrity, a hero emerges. Introducing Seagram's Hard Seltzer, the greatest of all time. So go ahead, awaken your taste buds and bring the thrill back to bubbles with fruit-infused flavor combinations that are refreshingly new and deliciously different. Seagram's Hard Seltzer. Kick it with the goat.
Flavored malt beverages. Enjoy responsibly. The Seagram Beverage Company, Rochester, New York.
Hi, this is Dustin Hawkinsmith from the Keystone Sports Network. For the best Penn State football analysis and commentary, go to KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. The rest of the KSN team and I will bring you game reviews, player evaluation, recruiting news, and plenty more. You may even hear directly from some of your favorite recruits. That's KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can also take Keystone Sports Network with you. Go to your app store and download Keystone Sports for your mobile device. For Penn State football news 52 weeks a year, count on the Keystone Sports Network.